Hi. Well, thank you, Kat, for allowing me to come to Delaware. This is exciting. It's kind of fun when you're in one place and you can be in another place super easily. It's really kind of exciting. My name is Rachel Kuntz, and I do know Jaws has some terrible pronunciation, but what are you going to do? Can't help it. I am the resource development coordinator at Blind Inc., and that is just a fancy title for fundraising and grant writing, and it's a new position here at Blind Inc. So it's something I just have gotten into since about a week before COVID. So I've got no pressure on my shoulders about raising the money that we need to keep our center running, and so I'm not worried at all. We're gonna get through this, right? I'm also a graduate of Blind Inc. I graduated from here in 2017. So, just so you guys know, Blind Inc. is located in Minneapolis, and we are one of three very wonderful and phenomenal training centers. You guys know, probably have many of you have heard of our other ones, Louisiana Center for the Blind and the Colorado Center for the Blind. They are in Colorado, of course, and down in a little town there in Louisiana. And Blind Inc. is here in Minneapolis. And what we do as a National Federation of Blind Training Center is what I like to describe as putting our philosophy into action. And for me, that means taking the things that Michael was just saying about, just trying to get out there and live our lives the way we want to, and push through those barriers that people like to put in front of us, and we, turn them into obstacles instead of barriers, and keep things moving. And today, I'm going to talk to you guys about really what makes an NFB training center special. And this applies to all three. So, but I'll mention a little bit of things that, Minneapolis does specifically, but because that's where I'm at, that's where I'm working. But all three centers are roughly the same. We all have this, we shared values as far as our non-visual training approach, which is, the use of the blindfolds and our commitment to using the long white cane and a steadfast, complete observance of making sure Braille is part of every part thing that we do. So all three of those things are very consistent. All of our training centers provide what I like. Well, let me just backtrack. I like to think of what makes our graduates special by saying that while they're here, they sort of make a pie. It's their own personal pie. And the three things that really go into it are training, and that's good, really valuable training, and it's confidence. And then the third thing, and almost equally important, is a positive attitude about blindness. So I'm going to talk about training first, because it's the nuts and bolts of everything. But for training, you're going to get Braille, you're going to get all sorts of technology training, including, all types of things like phones to MacBooks to Windows. Most offices are still using Windows-based products. But it's important to be as diverse as possible because you never know what your office is going to have. A lot of places have specialized software, so you want to be able to be as diverse as possible when you're talking about being prepared for that work environment. So we stretch and do all those things. And then in the home areas, we're looking at cooking from using a gas oven all the way up to using a grill or an Instapot. Practice on all of those things. For travel, that's what we call our class where you learn to use the white cane. You're going to go, well, here in Minneapolis, we have access to light rail and bus, and just, it's sidewalk everywhere. So there's no issues with, having to off-road it or anything like that around here. But you're going to learn all types of crossings. So that makes you incredibly marketable for the future when, you're looking at job opportunities. Right now, with the job market, being as flexible as possible and being prepared to be as flexible as possible means that you really need to stretch yourself as far as learning all different types of routes and transit options so that you can be ready to go. So, like, for example, I'm capable, I think, of moving to really any kind of environment at this point as far as cities is concerned. I have a personal preference for being in a city, but I don't feel that if I had a job opportunity in a small town somewhere that I wouldn't be capable of doing that because I feel like I got a pretty broad cross-section of training approach, so I'm going to be ready to go. Then we also have fitness here, and we focus on that as far as teaching people how to do some things and work on spatial awareness and stuff like that within fitness. One of the exciting things that I listened to the other day I'm in my office and I'm hearing this like really loud noises coming from the ballroom area, because we're in this big mansion here in Minneapolis, and the ballroom for the Pillsbury Mansion is where we do our fitness. And I'm hearing this banging sound, and I go out and there's a student learning how to break a board with a karate kick. Now, not all the students participate in something like that, but this was sort of a fun little goal that he had for himself. And so I kind of observed and listened to him working at trying to figure out, you know, how high he had to raise his leg, and he's a pretty tall guy. So, you know, just getting his posture right and stuff like that. So that was kind of fun. And then we have, of course, employment specialists here. So they're working on all different parts of that as far as, you know, connecting with some network to understand, you know, what career field you're wanting to go into. To, you know, one of the things people don't know is Blind Geek actually has a job search filter on our website. So if you're in Minnesota, you can look at different job opportunities that are up in the area here, which is kind of fun. And then being in Minneapolis, we're located by all of these corporations that are here, just hundreds of different major corporations. So we have a lot of connections to getting people opportunities to even intern, to do some mock interviews, all that kind of stuff. And so that's pretty important parts of the pie there. But training without, well, before I get into my other part, I almost forgot. So we have all the centers offer the adult transition to blindness programming. And they all have the youth programmings in the summer, which is really special. So if you're 9 years and up, there are a lot of opportunities to come to a training center in the summertime and get some additional mentoring and experience there and have some fun while you're at it. All the centers do different things because of where they're located at, but here we would challenge you with, gosh, any number of things, because Minnesota is located by all these lakes and a lot of, you know, free things to kind of get into all summer long. So they're busy all summer. And then we also have a college readiness portion to our program, which means that you can come here in a variety of different ways, from being at Blind Geek in the summertime between your class, between your school year, and then, or taking the same approach as the other, you know, 6 to 9 months long programming that you can spend it here. And actually, once you get a little bit of blindness skills under your belt, you could take one class here at the local college and enjoy some in-state tuition and be able to kind of practice out some of the skills that you're learning while you're kind of easing into the college experience, because it is a huge investment that you make in yourself when you go to college. It's a major time commitment. So it's really important for some people to really make sure that they've got all of those note-taking skills down and are able to really navigate all the different layers of college. So in our college readiness program, that's what they focus on. And that's always exciting. But in the other piece to all of these things, because you're in Delaware, is that the residential side of stuff is pretty exciting here too. Here at Blind Inc., our residential apartments are located right off of the campus of the University of Minnesota. So you would be right here in the heart of all the things going on there at the college campus. So that's another good approach for people to get kind of connected with things. And in case you're wondering, all of the apartments have free internet, because, you know, that's always on my mind whenever I travel. And we have all the furnishings and all the good stuff in there. So if you were interested in being a student here, you would come to our center and get training here. And you would just need to bring your personal stuff with you, you know, get off the plane with your humongous suitcase like I did, and just get settled in and get to work building up your life and getting things going together. So those are the major programmings that are most relevant here. But the two things that I think matter so much, almost in some ways, almost more. Training is typically done, you know, route based in other environments. Like what I had prior to coming to Blind Inc. is, you know, somebody shows you from point A to point B. But what about if a sidewalk's closed? What if that bus doesn't run, got delayed and isn't running right? What if your boss changes something else in your day and you got to figure out how to work around that? Well, what Blind Inc. and all the training centers do, or our training centers, is we're focused on every single day from 8 to 4:30 in the afternoon. It's like a full-time job. You're working in every single class to build up your confidence and your problem-solving skills, and really focusing in on paying attention to the blindness skills that you're learning. So for competence, you're going to take part in a lot of challenge activities as your skills progress. You're going to get to do some fun stuff like going apple picking, to tree cutting, to dog sledding, any number of variety of things. But within your classes themselves, you'll get an opportunity to do things like make it, well, let's say with COVID, all the COVID circumstances, but you would have experiences like, for example, you might get the experience of making a meal for 40 people. Now, I like to use this example because with making a multi-course meal for 40 people, there aren't many people ever that have to plan out and prepare that much food in multiple courses, in beverages, and appetizers, and desserts from scratch or otherwise in this world. So when you're sitting in front of that employer and they're asking you questions, because in their minds, which they're not going to say because they're smart people, they're not going to say, I don't know how this blind person is going to do the job. But you'll know in your mind, I've got this cool story to share when they ask me questions like, what makes you capable of, you know, what makes you unique or what makes you special or, you know, whatever, any number of personality questions they love to ask to get at some mundane story. But you're going to be able to say, hey, I actually coordinated a meal for 40 people, prepared it from scratch, got it out on time. You know, this happened, but I was able to overcome it by solving it that way. And that is a story that is going to blow their minds. So you'll have things like that in your back pocket because the world is going to try to take away your confidence all the time. It's going to try to chip away at it, but you're going to have that armor built up from all the little experiences you'll do every day at a training center and at Blind Inc. If you got the opportunity to go. And the last piece that I think matters very significantly is to make sure that your attitude about blindness is a positive one. Not sure what you have experienced in your lives, but I know that my attitude about blindness before coming to the NFB probably wasn't the most positive, and I didn't even realize it wasn't that positive. You know, when I would cop out of things, or I would choose to like defer to some sighted person for their experience, I would recognize later when finding the NFB that I didn't realize my attitude was so negative. But what you do when you come to a training center is that you're going to be taking part in seminar discussions, and you're going to be awakening yourself to understanding what are the low expectations that you even put inside your own mind that you didn't even realize you did. And you're going to be doing these things all the time. And you're going to be working too with people who are also blind. Most of the employees here at Blind Inc., and this is true of both all three training centers, most of them are blind. The presidents, you know, the executive director is blind. Our entire board is blind. And then the very few sighted people who have, they're blind at heart. So they're, you know, experts in the field, and we live the lives that we profess to people to try to do. And, you know, we want you to find a way to build your future with the new expectations that you get from developing a positive attitude about blindness. And that's one of the most special things, I think, about the beginning of a student's training. And then at the end, when they come in the door and they think one thing about their abilities as a blind person, but when they leave, their minds are just so reshaped. It's almost, we almost make them in as sort of tigers, you know, they want to get out there and just, you know, get at everything, you know, get busy working on stuff. I think it's pretty exciting. And, oh, I forgot one thing, because Michael made me think about this. The STEM programming here at Blind Inc., we're building that up. We hired a new employee back in the beginning of the year named Caden Colton. And Caden is working towards building up our STEM curriculum here. And so we have an instructor that's able to work with people on MS Code. So if you're people that are interested in a science field or even want to just explore it, this would be a great place to do it. So don't forget to, you know, think about that. And my question to you guys is, if you knew that taking 9 months for training would forever change your life for the better, would you take it? And while you're thinking about that answer, my answer was yes. And it was a tough one because I had a son at home. And but when I made that commitment and I spent those months for myself, it made everything about my ability to be a mom so much better. And I hope you guys will think about exploring those options for yourself, because it's never too late. So I'll take questions if I have time. Kat, do I have time to take any questions?
Rachel, Mike Hingson.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, question for you. I have heard, and I can't remember where, whether it was Diane McGeorge or Julie Deedon or someone, that anecdotally, although not absolutely scientifically proven, but that there is a much higher rate of people who get jobs if they have gone through our centers than from other rehabilitation centers. Do you have any knowledge or thoughts about that?
Well, I would say that it's 100% true for us. Our data, which we talk about all the time with people, and I've neglected to mention, is that we have an 85% success rate. So 85% of our graduates either go on to get a competitive job, or they go to college and then later get a job. So, you know, I mean, you cannot, there is nobody else that can talk about kind of data like that. It's just, and I really believe that it's because of our philosophy and the confidence portion, because, you know, Kenneth Jernigan, when he did his Nature of Independence speech, he talked about, you know, just having training, just the knowledge of Braille alone is not what sets you free as a person. It's the other components. It's the mental blocks that you have in your mind. These are my words, not his at this point, but it's that confidence piece. And it's that attitude about blindness that really make the difference as far as your ability to navigate all the obstacles that get thrown in your way. So thank you. That was a good question.
Thank you.
It's like I paid you or something to do that for me. So, but thank
checks
you.
In the mail, right?
That's right. Funnily, I want to mention that I did, I was working on a grant this morning, and one of the things that I included in there is our focus on STEM. So we get the grant, it'll be because they believe in the ability of blind people to do science, technology, and math. So I'm excited. Any other questions?
Alt, audio now on.
Yes, Rachel, this is Art Cohen here from Delaware. You talk about taking a training for 6 months and you took advantage of it. I did, because several years ago in 1984, I took a 2-week computer class down at an Easter Seals camp that opened. That's how that opened the door today that I have my job working with the state. And the Division for the Visually Impaired said to me, would you be willing to go out of state for 6 months? And I absolutely said yes.
That's right. Good for you. Good for you.
Now, what's the contact information to look into this again?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat your question?
What's the contact information to find out more about the programs and what can be offered?
That is a great question. I'm really dropping this today. I apologize. So we are Blind Incorporated. So here's a few options. Our website is a great place to go for some information. If you're not really ready to talk to anybody, but you want to kind of peruse things and just get a little details, background information, we've got a lot of good content out there. It's blindinc.org. So BLINDINC.org. And then we do still take phone calls. I know some places don't, you know, they're trying to get you to use all email access and everything. But our phone number is 612-872-0100. And then if you're ready to really have a conversation with somebody, when you dial that number, you can ask to speak with our admissions coordinator, and her name is Jennifer Wenzel. She's been in the NFB forever and is super knowledgeable about all the ins and outs about how it works to come from Delaware to Minnesota and from any state, really, because she's just been doing this for so long that she really has a good, sorry, I have an alarm going off for some reason. Okay. So, and then we have email too, which goes directly to her, and that is info@blindinc.org. So super easy. Kat, I'm more than happy to talk with anybody. You can share out my information later to your listserv. I put all of my contact information in my signature line. So feel free to share that out with people. We always welcome conversations, and we don't get upset if you're, you know, we get a lot of people who are just exploring their options. So if you're just looking for additional information, feel free to call. We just love talking to people. This is a huge investment that a person makes in themselves, and it's no easy decision. And we believe in the power and abilities of blind people. And so we're just ready to be part of that journey with you if you're looking at that. But it takes a little while usually for people to start. You know, once I realized that the NFB Training Center even existed, it took me several months to make that possible for me to even do it in my own life. So, it's a big investment in yourself, and you're worth it. So call us.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
This is Verita Turner. Can you check yourself in, or do you have to get a referral from a state agency?
That's a great question. So the process by which most people come to training centers are to go through your state agency first. And that doesn't mean you can't have a conversation with us to figure out how that all works, but you would want to go through them to, you know, create your case and do your individual plan for employment and get all that stuff set up and ready to go, because they'll be the resource for funding the training and your stay at Minneapolis. Now, I will say that we do have people that work out or negotiate coming individually and paying for it themselves. But it is a pretty big investment. So if you're capable of doing that, feel free. But usually people, 95% of people are using their rehab agencies to do out-of-state training. And you are, legally speaking, entitled to that because of how the rehab system works. You're entitled to the training of your choice. But every state has their own little hoops that you have to go through in order to get that done. So, and you got great advocates there in Delaware. So should you encounter any problems with getting the training that you choose or want, you can always reach out and go in as a team. And, you know, you have the right to all that. You have the right to get training that works for you. So
thank you.
Great question. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Robert Patty. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Robert.
I have a question. I'm a veteran. Do y'all have any other stipulations for veterans?
Can you tell me more about what you mean by that? And thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I know the veteran, the VA have rehabilitation schools for the blind.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if, speaking in transportation wise.
Well, you know, I am not sure how that system or that setup works. I'm familiar with the VA system for training options for people. But to be honest with you, that would be a better question for our admissions coordinator. She might know some more details. And as far as, I'm not sure there's a lot of feedback going on. I don't know if somebody could hit mute or just check to see if they're doing that. I know how Zoom is. It gets quirky sometimes. Let me just say one little thing about transportation. When you're coming from out of state, typically what happens is some portions of your travel can be funded by your rehab agency, but usually not everything. So if you're one that likes to go back home every month or so, that may be something you factor into your expenses. But I do know that certain portions of travel are often covered, and that's part of what you can talk about with your counselor as far as setting up how things are going to work financially for you. So, Robert, if you're interested in more information about that, I can, I don't need to get your information here, but if you're willing to email or call Jennifer Winsel, she'd be happy to talk you through a little bit more about that, or at least find out more information for you.
Okay. And that information is info
at blindinc.org. So blindinc.org. So info at blindinc.org.
Okay, thank you for that information.
Yeah, thank you. Do you know Mark Erickson here in Minnesota? He was Navy. He's involved in the national affiliate or national division for the veterans.
No, I don't have nothing against the Navy. Go Army.
Yes.
Thanks again.
So funny. Thank you, Robert. So, well, you know what? I hope whatever you guys decide to do in your futures is successful. I know that if you came to Blind Ink or you went to either of our other two training centers, you're going to experience things you never thought possible about yourself. And I encourage you to kind of keep exploring, look into it.
And, excuse me.
Oh, hey.
Sorry. My name's Shannon. You were talking earlier about doing like cane training and stuff like that. What if you have a guide dog?
So we focus on the cane. It doesn't mean that if you have a guide dog, you wouldn't just bring them with. What happens typically is, this is different for every student, but while you're at the center and you're doing your training, it's focusing on the use of the cane. We've had multiple students that come with guide dogs, and the guide dog is used when they're not in the training day. So from 8 to 4:30, for example, you would not be going out on travel with your dog or anything like that. But after school and before school and on the weekends, the guide dog's perfectly fine. It's wonderful.
Okay.
I love when the guide dogs are here. We don't have any guide dogs right now, but I love when they're here. And
I've had mine just about a year.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. One day I might look into it, but I really like the cane because of the fact that I'm kind of a nosy person and I love knowing what's in my environment. So my cane just like, you know, every time it hits something, I just put that in my mental map about, you know, oh, that's a hydrant or, you know, whatever. So that would be something, the trade-off for having a guide dog that I'm not sure I'm ready to commit to yet, but I love them. They're wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the question. That was a good question. So one thing I didn't mention was COVID-19 stuff. And if I have 1 second, 1 minute, or minute, I'll mention this. For COVID-19, we are training in person now. In the very beginning of COVID-19, we were not. We did all remote. Should our conditions worsen or time gets, you know, where we need to be sheltering in place again, we have the option of just going full remote from within our residential program. And so what we're doing in person is that we are all wearing the face masks, and staff, students, and everything. We have designated zones that we're allowed to take the masks off. And we're having smaller than our normal class sizes, which are pretty small anyway, but we're really limiting that so that we can make sure that we can keep that 6 foot distance or more, really. And we've all stayed very healthy, which is great. And we're all very careful. Always, my hands are so dry right now. Probably you guys are too, from all the hand sanitizer and the hand washing that's going on. But it's important that we do that because COVID-19 is not a joke. So we are teaching in person now. So if you were to participate in Blind Ink, you would be coming to Minneapolis to participate, which is a lot of fun. So anyway, so if there aren't any more questions, I can turn it back over to Kat. And
I had a quick question.
Go ahead, Carol.
Is there an age limit, like upper age limit, to participating in Blind Ink? And the other question I had is, Minnesota in the winter, ?
Now listen here, let me tell you, if you were to take part in training here in Minneapolis, you would be prepared to work in any environment whatsoever. You have all four seasons here. We have gorgeous summers, our beautiful falls, and our lovely spring. And yes, winter can be tricky, but at least if you throw on enough clothing, you're going to be fine. You know, I if it gets to be 50 below, we don't go out either. We're not crazy. I didn't have any trouble with it, to be honest. But you'll be prepared for anything, so you won't be limited. So if you got a job opportunity in Boston, let's say you're exploring a lot of options and you want to do this specific thing that only seems to be available in Alaska, you'd be able to go there. Hopefully not, but if you did. Minneapolis too is so, they're just so used to the snow that I tell you, it'll come down and within a few hours, sidewalks are already getting cleared out. Streets are already cleared. I mean, it just does not slow down here. So it's pretty exciting. And then to answer your question about the age, there is no limit. If you're interested in looking for work and your goal is you have a career objective, you're planning to go back to work there, you could be 75, you could be 89, you could be 18. As long as you're legally able to work you are able to come to our training center and take part in a residential program. So we have age ranges that just vary all over the place. And then it sort of changes. Like sometimes we have more 20-year-olds, and then sometimes we have more people in their 40s, because we have a rolling admission. So you just come whenever there's a space available and you get started in classes that people have already been working through things at the same time, which is also good because you get the expertise of somebody who's been there a few months, so they can help you kind of guide you along. But there's no age limit. The limit to that would be in your own mind. So, you know, if you're ready and wanting to take on some new thing, come see us. Or even if you're at a job right now where your vision has gotten so much bad that you think you could benefit from some training and that would help you get back to that, you could be doing a job save situation and take a few, you know, 2-3 months leave of absence and work on some things to help you build your skills up so that you can keep that job. That's another approach.
Excellent.
Yeah, thank you. Good question, Carol.
This is Verita.
Hey there. Welcome.
Hi. I have a couple of things. Don't knock Alaska. It's a beautiful place to live.
Oh yes, thank you. Good point.
Yep. I lived there, so I know.
Yeah.
And the other thing, your thing is your time to stay. Do you have a time limit?
No, and actually, the average they say, they give a range, usually say 6 to 9 months to complete the adult program, the adult transition to blindness program. But some students need longer than that, and so it's really individualized. Some students can, like I said, if you have some skills already and you just want to kind of hone them in, you may only need a few months. So but we say 9 months just so that people have an idea of what kind of commitment it is.
Okay.
It's really individualized. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So when you say you take like their skills into consideration and they might not have to go through the whole thing. So if you have knowledge like of cooking, do they just move you on to something else or test you and move you on?
That's a good question. To answer that, I will say that within the class, you're going to start off at a certain point. And really the first month that you spend at a training center, you're going to be going through a lot of different skill areas and you're going to be getting assessed. And you move out of certain things based on you reaching benchmarks. So which means that if you hit certain goals like non-visual cooking, for example, you might do that faster if you have cooking experience, but maybe you've never done it under blindfolds. And so it might change your ability, change your speed or change your understanding of how you know how to do the cooking. But you might be a lot quicker than somebody else who has never cooked a day in their lives, which, you know, there's a lot of young people that come who've never cooked. And so they got to learn also how to cook, you know, how to prepare, like read recipes.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot to cooking that's not just the process of cooking. So in home management, for example, if you're going to do a small meal or something like that, you need to know how to get to the store under blindfolds too, which gets into a little more like, this depends on your own personal abilities. So if this is not a goal of yours when you come here, you'll just to get to ignore that. But I'm giving you a kind of a sample of what a person might do. So they'll go to the shopping, do that on their own, and then come back, you know, make sure that they know how to put their food away in order to find it the next day so nobody else uses it in a recipe on accident. you're going to need to prepare your menus and your work plan, which is what we call it, for your step-by-step, like I'm going to do the potatoes first and it's going to take me 2 hours, blah, blah, blah. So you have to make a plan. And that's done in Braille for a lot of students. So it's kind of like it's all going to work together, if that makes any sense. So it's a layered cake that has to have all the components before you can get through a class. But, you know, if you've got a lot of cooking experience, it usually typically takes a less time than somebody who hasn't. So,
okay, that leads me into, so if you don't do Braille, then you're kind of doomed.
That would be a philosophy question.
Okay.
Usually what happens with Braille is that we try all different avenues of seeing ways in which you might be able to do it that you didn't know were a possibility. So when you go to a training center, you're going to get access to a lot of different ways Braille is made. We have Code Masters here, which helps people learn how to write and read the code. You focus on learning to write it and recognizing the code first. People can do that in under 6 weeks. So there's a lot of different approaches to it. You got the Braille displays that you could practice on to see if that works better for people. Like, for example, if you got neuropathy, there's jumbo Braille. Everything else fails, maybe jumbo Braille is an option. Some people just explore a lot of different ways of using it, because really in just heart to heart with you, if you're not reading, well, Braille is our only form of literacy as a blind person, really. It's our only form. So we want to search for all different ways for you to be able to use it, even if it's not to read a novel, that you might be able to learn it just for functional purposes in your house, or so that you can get out of an elevator if you're traveling somewhere, you know,
yeah,
or find a room. So, you know, I don't know if you've had a convention experience yet, but
I did that once.
I went traveling and realized I couldn't get out of the elevator. So that's what brought me to figuring out what am I going to do for myself. So yeah. Cool. Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Kat, I know I've taken way more time than I'm supposed
to. No, you're absolutely fine. And guys, I have Rachel's information, so I can pass it along for those that have questions, you know, when she's not available to answer them here. So feel free to, you know, let me know and I can get you her number, her, you know, for those that don't do email. So, okay.